Daniel chapter 2. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, and his spirit was troubled, and he couldn't sleep. So the king commanded to call the magicians and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans to explain to the king his dreams. And they stood before the king, and the king said to them, "I've dreamed a dream, and my spirit is troubled to know the dream." The Chaldeans spoke to the king, "O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation." The king replied, "The thing is gone from me. If you don't make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a compost heap. But if you show the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts and rewards and great honour. So show me the dream and its interpretation." They replied the second time and said, "Let the king tell his servants what you dreamed, and we will tell you the interpretation." The king replied, "I know for sure that you would gain time, because you see the thing is gone from me. If you don't tell me the dream, there is but one law for you. You've prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me until the time be changed. Tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me its interpretation." Well, of course, the king had forgotten what his dream was. See how power corrupts people and makes them unreasonable. This king who had all this power, he'd had a dream and forgotten it. And he says, "Look, if you can tell me what I dreamt and tell me what it means, I'll give you wonderful honour. If you can't, well, I'll kill you." Very unreasonable. And this is the trouble with people when they get too much power and wealth behind them. The Chaldeans replied, "There is not a man on earth who can show the king's matter, because no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such a thing of any magician. It's an unusual thing that the king requires, and there's no other who can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh." So they admit no man on earth can do this. It would need to be someone who is in direct connection with God. The king was angry and furious, and he commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be destroyed. So the decree went forth that all the wise men were to be slain, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. Daniel replied with wisdom and counsel to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who went out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He said, "Why is the decree so urgent from the king?" Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. So the king was willing to kill totally innocent people because he was cranky with some people, with some of the magicians. Therefore, he said, "Let's kill all the magicians." And again, you see an error of reasoning there. "I don't like that person. Therefore, let's kill all the people who are like them in their group." You see that at the time of Esther, that Haman didn't like Mordecai, who was a Jew. So he said, "Well, let's kill all the Jews." Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him a time and that he would show the king the interpretation. That's absolute faith on Daniel's part, that God was going to show him the dream. Daniel went to his house and told Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his friends, that they would ask mercy of the God of heaven about this secret, so that Daniel and his friends would not die with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven. He said, "Blessed be the name of God for ever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He changes the times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding." Well, there Daniel was about to die. Every minute mattered. And he knew that if he didn't come up with the dream and the interpretation, he was going to die. And, well, God gave it to him. Now, if I was Daniel, I'd have been tempted to run to the king straight away and say, "Yep, I know the answer." But the first thing he does is to thank God. And that's the message for us, to be grateful when prayer is answered immediately, rather than, "Oh, yeah, let me use the answer, and yeah, I'll thank God later." No, he thanks God first. And he realizes when he says to God what the dream meant, that kings were going to be removed, that this powerful king was going to be removed. He says that God gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. So it's like an upward spiral. Those who are wise are made more wise. And that is how it is in our relationship with God. If you have wisdom and you want wisdom, God will give you more. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, you God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has now made known to me what we ask you, for you have made known to us the king's matter. Therefore, see, after he's praised God, Daniel went into Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon, and told him, don't destroy the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show to the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste and said, I found a man among the captains of Judah, who will make known to the king the interpretation. The king replied to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation? Maybe when he says, are you able to do this? He was looking at Daniel because Daniel was maybe just a teenager. And you see how God uses young people. He was certainly very young. Probably he was just a teenager. And he looked him up and down and said, can you really do this? So never think that you're too young to be used. Think of all the young people whom God has used. Samuel, even little Samuel, when he was a very small boy, was used by God to give his message to others. So Daniel replied to the king, the secret which the king has demanded, no wise man can show to the king, but there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions you had are these. You wanted to know the future, and he who reveals secrets has made known to the king what shall happen. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have, more than any living, but to the intent that the interpretation may be made known to the king. So he's saying immediately, don't think greatly of me. This is from God. And so you see there his humility. You, O king, saw, and behold, a great image. The image was mighty and very bright. Its head was of fine gold, breast and arms of silver, belly and thighs of brass, legs of iron, feet part of iron and part of clay. You saw until a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet that were of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then was the iron, clay, brass, silver, gold broken in pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away, and the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Can you imagine the king thinking, yeah, that's it, Daniel. Yep, that's the one. That's just what I dreamed. So now the king is listening very carefully to the interpretation. You, O king, are a king of kings, to whom the God of heaven has given the kingdom, the power, and the glory. You are the head of gold. After you shall arise another kingdom inferior to you. Well, the king thought he was going to live forever. That's what these kings kidded themselves. They really wanted to believe that they would never die and their kingdoms would go on forever and ever. But that was not to happen. So Daniel must have been a bit nervous when he said this. After you are not going to last forever, nor will your kingdom last forever. This is bad news for the king, really. After you shall arise another kingdom inferior to you, and then a third kingdom of brass, which shall rule over all the land. The fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. Then you saw the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron. That shall be a divided kingdom. There shall be in it the strength of the iron, because you saw the iron mixed with the clay. As the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. In the days of those kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, nor shall its sovereignty be left to another people. It shall crush to powder and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. as you saw the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, brass, clay, silver, gold, their great God has made known to the king what shall happen. The dream is certain, and its interpretation sure. So what that means is that after Nebuchadnezzar, there would arise various other kings and empires, etc. And yet, in the end, this whole vision's main interpretation was that in the last days, this image was going to stand complete. There would be a latter-day equivalent of Nebuchadnezzar ruling over this big colossus, this big image, all these different nations, the kingdoms of men, and then the stone that was cut out without hands. Well, the stone is Jesus. He said the stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone of God's building. So Jesus is the stone cut out without hands. In other words, brought about by God. He had no human father. And he is going to come to this earth and destroy the kingdoms of men and establish the kingdom of God here on the earth. Well, the king could have said, kill him. He says that I'm going to die, that my kingdom's not going to last forever, that there's some other God apart from me who's going to set up a kingdom that will last forever. So what's he going to do? The king Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face and worshipped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an offering and sweet incense to him. And the king said to Daniel, truly your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and the revealer of secrets, since you've been able to reveal this secret. And the king made Daniel great, gave him many great gifts, and made him to rule over the whole province of Babylon and to be chief governor over all the wise men of Babylon. Daniel asked the king, and he appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, his three young Jewish friends, over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel was in the gate of the king. So, you see there how God worked in this amazing way that three teenagers, along with another teenager, Daniel, that these four teenagers, Jewish teenagers, who were, if you like, refugees, who were prisoners of war, whose parents may well have been killed when the Babylonians captured Jerusalem, who had gone into captivity as exiles, they, in such a short period of time, become the rulers of the province of Babylon. Now, they didn't stay doing that, and I think that's because it would have been very difficult for them to be Jews believing in the one true God, living in a society that believed in idols. So with Daniel, what you see with him throughout his life is he's made very famous, given a big job, and then the next you hear of him, well, nobody sort of knows him, and he's sort of not around, they just remember him, and, oh, where's Daniel? Let's get hold of him. So he goes up and down in his life, in his career, and I think it was because when he was given these great big positions, he didn't really want them, and he tried to get out of it. It's like you might be made the big boss, which means you've got to take people out whining and dining and living a worldly life, and you might accept it, but then you find excuses to get out of it, because what believer in God wants to be compromised all the time by their situation? But the point is that God's kingdom will finally come. And when you come to Daniel chapter 7, you get more information about these different parts of the image. Instead of reading about metals, you read about beasts. And each of the beasts in Daniel chapter 7 connects with parts of the image here in Daniel chapter 2. But we'll come to that later, God willing.